اللهم إني نشرت وحدك وكتابك، اللهم فاجعل نظري فيه عبادا وقراء، ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر، ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع إسراره في الدين، قد تبين الرشد من الغي، فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياؤهم أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. ألم تر إلى الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. أو كالذي مر على قرية قال أنى يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله 100 عام ثم بعثه قال كم لبثت قال لبثت يوما أو بعض يوم قال بل لبثت 100 عام فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنه وانظر إلى حمارك قال إبراهيم ربي أرني كيف تحيي الموتى قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ 4 من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تبطلوا صدقتكم بالمن والأذى كالذي ينفق ماله رئاء ذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا من طيبات ما كسبتم ومما أخرجنا لكم من الأرض فلا تيمموا الخبيث منه تنفقون ولستم بآخذيه إلا أن تغمضوا فيه واعلموا أن الله غني حميد. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا والله واسع عليم. يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء وما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلمه وما للظالمين من أنصار تعملون خبير. ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وما تنفقوا من خير فلأنفسكم وما تنفقون إلا ابتغاء وجه الله وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون. للفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية فلهم أجر عند ربهم ولا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقى من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين فأيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه وليكتب يأبى كاتب أن يكتب كما علمه الله فليكتب وليملل الذي عليه الحق وربه ولا يبخس منه شيئا فإن كان الذي عليه الحق شفيها أو ضعيفا أو لا أحدهما فتذكر أحداهما الأخرى ولا يأبى الشهداء إلى ما دعوا ولا تسأموا ذلكم أقسط عند الله وأقوم للشهادة وأدنى ألا ترتابوا إلا أن تكون على سفر ولم تجد كاتبا فرهان مقبوضا فإن أمنا بعضكم من بعض فليؤدي الله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو آياتنا فأخذهم الله بذنوبهم والله شديد العقاب قل للذين كفروا ستغلبون وتحشرون إلى جهنم وبئس المهاد قد كان لكم آية قاتلوا في سبيل الله وأخرى كافرة يرونهم مثلهم رأي العين والله ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب قل أنبئكم بخير منه عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة ولا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين قل أسلمت وجهي لله ومن اتبعني وقل للذين أوتوا الكتاب والأميين أسلمتم هؤلاء الذين يأمرون بالقسط من الناس فبشرهم بعذاب أليم أولئك الذين حبطت أعمالهم إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم ذلك بأنهم قالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودات وغرهم في دينهم ما كان قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل ما تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تودوا لو أن بينها وبين الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين الله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيدها نباتا حسنا وكفلها زكريا كلما دخلا عليها زكريا المحراب وجدا عندها يا مريم أنى لك هذا قالت هو من عند الله إن الله يرزق من يشاء بذلك دعا زكريا ربه قال ربي هب لي من لدنك ذرية طيبة إنك سميع الدعاء ذلك الله يفعل ما يشاء قال رب اجعل لي آية قال آيتك ألا تكلمني يا مريم اقنتي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين ذلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيه تعلمهم ويعلمه الكتاب والحكمة والتوراة والإنجيل ورسولا إلى بني إسرائيل أني قد جئتكم بآية من ربكم أني أخلق لكم من الطين كهيئة وأبرئ الأكمه والأبرص وأحيي الموتى بإذن الله وأنبئكم بما تأكلون وما تدخرون في بيوتكم قال الله يا عيسى إني متوفيك ورافعك إلي ومطهرك من الذين كفروا وجاعل الذين اتبعوك فوق الذين كفروا إلى يوم القيامة ثم إلي مرجعكم فأحكم بينكم فيما كنتم هنا مثل عيسى عند الله كمثل آدم خلقه من تراب ثم قال له كن فيكون قال هو القصص الحق وما من إله إلا الله وإن الله لهو العزيز الحكيم فإن تولوا فإن الله عليم بالمفسدين يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا يا أهل الكتاب لما تحاجون في إبراهيم وما أنزلت التوراة والإنجيل إلا من بعده ها أنتم هؤلاء حاجستم فيما لكم به علم فلما تحاجون الله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين إن أولى الناس بإبراهيم للذين اتبعوه وهذا النبي والذين آمنوا والله ولي المؤمنين ودت طائفة من أهل الكتاب لو يضلونكم وما يضلون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون يا أهل الكتاب لما تكفرون بآيات الله وأنتم تشهدون يا أهل الكتاب لما تلبسون الحق بالباطل وتكتمون الحق وأنتم تعلمون وقال الطائفة من أهل الكتاب آمنوا بالنبي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وجه النهار واكفروا آخره ولا تؤمنوا إلا لمن تبع دينكم قل إن الهدى هدى الله أن يؤتى أحد مثل ما أوتيتم أو يحاجوكم عند ربكم قل إن الفضل بيد الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤدي إليك ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤديه إليك ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤديه إليه فلا من أوفى بعهده واتقى فإن الله يحب المتقين إن الذين يشترون بعهد الله لا يكلمهم الله ولا ينظر إليهم يوم القيامة ولا وهم يعلمون ما كان لبشر أن يؤتيه الله الكتاب والحكم والنبوة ثم يقول للناس كونوا عبادا لي من دون ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون لا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا أيأمركم بالكفر بعد إذ كنتم وإذ أخذ الله ميثاق النبيين لما آتيتكم من كتاب وحكمة ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم قال أقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري قالوا أقررنا قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين فمن تولى من بعد ذلك فأولئك فغير دين الله يبغون وله أسلم من في السماوات والأرض طوعا وكرها وإليه يرجعون آمنا بالله وما أنزل علينا وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وما أنزل على إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى والنبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون وفي الآخرة من الخاسرين كيف يهدي الله قوما كفروا بعد إيمانهم وشهدوا أن الرسول حق وجاءهم البينات والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين أولئك جزاؤهم أن عليهم لعنة الله والملائكة والناس خالدين فيها لا يخفف عنهم العذاب ولا هم ينظرون إن الذين تابوا من بعد ذلك وأصلحوا فإن الله غفور رحيم إن كفروا بعد إيمانهم ثم ازدادوا كفرا لن تقبل توبتهم وأولئك هم الضالون الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار فلن يقبل من أحدهم ملء الأرض ذهبا ولو افتدى به من الناصرين
صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات الله
له وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر أن أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا ولي الله. أشهد أن نبي المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا حجة الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح.
Thank you. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك، أسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عترتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهمور بغنائم قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الباشي في الخلق أمره، وحمده الظاهر بالمجد بالكرم نبلوه، الباسط بالجود يدوه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجتي به إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قدير، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي، وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي، وصفحك عن ظلمي، وسترك على قبيح عملي، وحلمك عن كثير جرمي، عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي. أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك، وأريتني من قدرتك، وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا، وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأت عنه اعتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي يرضى عني هو خير لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلما رى مولا كريما نصبر على عبد بعيد منك عليك، يا ربي انك تدعوني فاولي عنك، وتتحسب الي فاتبوب اليك، وتتودد الي فلا اقبل منك، كأنني التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة والإحسان إلي، والتفضل علي بجودك، وارحم عبدك الجاهل، وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك، مجري الفلك، مسخر الرياح، فالق الإصباح، ديان الدين، رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عقله بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على كون أنعاته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخال باسط الريح خالق الاصباح بالجلال والاكرام والفضل والانعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازعان يعادلوه ولا شبيهان يشاركوه ولا بغيران يعابدوه فهرى بعزته العزى وتواضع لعظمته العظمى فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أنادي ويستر علي كل عورة ولا عشي ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجادي فكان من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مولقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مشبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يولق ضاره ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب عامله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن بالقائتين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويضع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين مبين الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريح المستصرخين موضع هذا في الطالبين معتمد المعين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته تعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وعمارها وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنهى وأطيب وأطهر وأسمى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وتحملت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وعمتي عليك من خلقك. اللهم وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على خلفي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف والخلف الهادي المهدي أجدك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمن والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك واستخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له أبدلها لا يشركون بك شيئا اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا اللهم اظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريهة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا اللهم المن به شعفنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكفر به قلتنا واعز به ذلتنا واغن به عنا عيلنا واخذ به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا واشدد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وانزح به طلبتنا وانزح به مواهبنا واستجب به دعوتنا واعطنا به سننا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة أهوالنا واعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المشكورين وأوسع المعطين اشف به صدورنا واذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا بك على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين.
اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقدر نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللها وعافية وعافية منك تلبسناها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
اللهم إنا نستنزع باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله فلشفاء مرضى الإسلام مريض مخصوص أعصف الله بالله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم ارزقنا توفيق الطاعة وبعد المعصية وصدق النية وعرفان الحرمة واكرمنا بالهدى والاستقامة اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وساكر الموحدين اللهم احفظ علماءنا الربانيين واحفظ قائدنا اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات بالأخص سيد جلال ابن سيد جواد ابن شبر علي خان الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. There you go. I don't need to remind you again to say, you know, wa alaikum assalam, a little bit louder today. Sallallahu Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Tonight we will just have the English program. The main program will be in this hall. And we do not have the Arabic program tonight. Tomorrow also we will just have English and Arabic starting Friday. Okay, tomorrow we have Farsi, English, and Arabic tomorrow. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we will have four parallel programs. That's English, Urdu, Arabic, and Farsi. Tonight we have a lot of food that's left over. People in the kitchen have packed it up. Please take some food before you leave tonight, inshallah. And the regular program, let me remind you that we're going to start at 7 p.m. with the Quran recitation, followed by Salat al-Maghribain, Maghrib and Isha together, and Iftar, followed that by Dua Iftitah and speeches. Special programs for this evening, Saturday and Sunday, we have classes for the youth starting at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's Quran and Salat checkup. Please bring your kids along with you. Program will start at 6 p.m. And Friday night we will have the sports night that will be in the main hall for men and in the Persian hall Razavia for the women, inshallah. And Saturday we will have the doctor's panel which will be after the program is finished. So Saturday, that's the 6th of September, after the program, we'll have the doctor's panel. Right now, we'll continue with the English program. Inshallah, Mawlana Dr. Abidi will give a speech in English. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala Muhammad.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام التحية الكرام على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين والصديقين وعلى خير خلقه البشير النذير الصراط المنير أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين والعظام على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، اللهم قوني في على إقامة أمرك، وذقني في حلاوة ذكرك، وأوزعني فيه لأداء شكرك بكرمك، واحفظني فيه بحفظك وسترك يا أبصر الناظرين. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. So brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, almost 3 days of the month of Allah, fasting month, has finished, and we are in the fourth night of the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and tawfiq to fulfill all the ni'mat and mahmat. I'd like to mention a few ahkam. First one is about the intention and niyyah. Is very important. Intention and niyyah is little bit tricky sometimes if you don't pay attention. Basically, our intention and niyyah should be from dawn to dusk, from Salatul Subh to Maghrib prayer. This niyyah should be continuously without any breaking, without any even one moment gap. We should have intention of fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is qurbatun ila Allah. So sometimes maybe we don't pay attention, or we don't aware that I'm fasting. That's okay, as long as you know that you're, you know, in the month of Ramadan, you really need to fast, you make the intention last night, and you know that you should not eat and drink, and you should not do those things which you don't. That's enough. But our ulama, they mention is minimum, you have to have awareness that you are in the state of fasting. Through, you know, from the, you know, Fajr time to the Maghrib time, obviously, without any gap. That's about the niyyah. So if someone by mistake, he or she eats something, by mistake meaning they're not in the state of fasting, at least they don't aware that they are fasting. So if their fast is going to affect and bother, ulama they said no. Like for example, you are praying the prayer, and all of a sudden, if for example something happens and you yell or scream, oh, or something like that, your prayers are not working. Why? Because you did not do it out of your intention or knowingly or something like that. So the main thing is you should aware that you're in the month of Ramadan, and if for some reason you forget for a small period of time, it's okay. But if someone forgets that he's in the state of fasting from, let's say, 10 o'clock till 7 o'clock, he eats or she eats and drinks and has a stomach and everything, and 7 o'clock all of a sudden he actually remembers, oh, I'm sorry, I'm fasting during the month of Ramadan, what I should do? Our ulama, they said that if this forget fullness is continuously for more than one third of a day, in that case, he or she should just do qada. If it's more than half a day, it's a little bit difficult. Yeah, qada and istighfar. But if whole day is forget, and he doesn't know, all of a sudden 5 minutes before Maghrib time, once he comes to Masjid, oh, today is month of Ramadan, what I should do? Ulama said that he or she are not reliable to continue the fasting, and they have to go to, you know, doctor to fix their problem and use them. No, they have to pay kafara and also qada and also keep their fasting up. Anyhow, inshallah, that's not the case for all of us. We don't, you know, forget that much. Usually people, they forget for 1 hour, half an hour, 10 minutes, more or less, that's okay. That's not enough effort because it's less than one third of the whole time of fasting. So the intention should be there all the time from dawn to dusk. This is the, you know, in general about the intention. And also some of the ulama, they said that if, you know, an intention also is very important point, we have to remember that. Sometimes, for example, you want to help the needy people. You want to pay a khums. You want to, for example, pay a sadaqah. You don't have to make an intention that I'm doing this for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qurbatan ila Allah, and all those type of things. Just you pay it and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. But for like fasting, for the prayer, for the hajj, these are the ibadat called ibadat ta'abbudi, meaning we should have intention, not just, I want to do something, some kind of good job. No. Like fasting is not to maintain my body. Fasting is not, for example, to, you know, lose my weight. Fasting is not, for example, to remember the hungerness of the people around the world. Could be that also one of the benefits of the fasting. By fasting, we can remember the hungerness and thirsty of the people around the world and also about ourselves on the Day of Judgment. Maybe we can remember that, but that's not the actual intention of the fasting. What is the intention of fasting? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, meaning nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this fasting particularly, we have to have intention that I want to do it for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is minimum. What is the minimum? Minimum is just verbally, if you say, or just you make your intention by heart or in your heart, that's enough, at least. Again, for the intention of, there is a lot of, you know, ranks. The highest rank is being complete in the shadow of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate destination of the intention. But for, you know, us, if even you can say by verbally, you know, sahar time, iftar time is okay. Some people say, okay, oh, I'm sorry, I did not say by verbally. I don't, for example, say like all the time, all the night, that I am going to do fast for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from dawn to dusk and all those. Also, most of people, like even they don't aware that. Is it going to affect? No. As long as you are aware that you are in the state of fasting and you want to start your fasting, that's enough. You don't have to, you know, say it by one. It's mustahab, though. It's recommended to say it. Why? Because once you say it, it's going to be extra effort by saying your heart, your tongue, your action are going to involve in that. That's why it's mustahab to say. But other than that, it's not wajib. So anyone has any question about this intention? Go ahead, brother. Yeah. You can make intention that I want to fast for sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the first day of the month of Ramadan to last day of the month of Ramadan. If you said yes, you don't have to repeat every day because you're aware of that. That's enough. Go ahead. Okay, mashallah, one of the muharramats, are one of the things which our fast can be break is you vomit or vomiting purposely. Okay, if something came out, if you throw up automatically or because of, you know, some stomach problem or because of some, you know, you're passing from some street or some, you know, some places which you don't like the environment of that place, you throw up something, your fasting is not going to affect you, your fasting is not possible. Only if you did intentionally, meaning for example if you did something and are to throw up at that time, your fasting is going to bother. Not automatically comes out, your fasting is not going to bother, and you should keep continuing your fasting. After what? Afternoon. MashaAllah. If you don't know that today is the first day of the month of Ramadan, until unless noon time or afternoon time, and someone told you that, Salaamu Alaikum, Ramadan Kareem, brother, MashaAllah, today is the first day of the month of Ramadan. Shocked. Oh. If you haven't done anything which fast is going to break, like eating, drinking, you know, other things which you know, your break is going to be fast. If you haven't done anything those, you should keep the intention of the fasting, and you have to do qada also, end of the month of Ramadan. But if you already ate something, you break your fast, nothing, and just you have to pay one day qada, because you are not aware of being first day in the month of Ramadan. There is no kafara, end of the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, you have to do one day as a qada fasting, mashallah. There is no question. Okay, sisters, mashallah. So, as I mentioned first night about the type of fasting, all of us, we have to try to be a fast of those who fasted sincerely, pure fast, Roza-e Khalis. The pure fast, we have to go towards that. For that, one of the guidelines mentioned by our Holy Prophet is, every each day there is a beautiful dua. Dua today is, Allahumma qawwini fihi ala iqamat amrik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me stronger to carry out your commands. قَوِّنِ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ إِقَامَةِ أَمْرِكَ. So this is also very, very important word, إِقَام. Carry out or establish. What it says, قَدْ قَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ or قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةِ in the Ziyarat of Warisa, Ziyarat of Ashura, Al-Adi, Ziyarat of Imam Hussain, Allah Imam 46, قَدْ أَقَمْتَ الصَّلَاةِ. O the one who carry up or establish the prayers. So there is a slight difference between doing our responsibility and carry out the responsibility. Fulfilling our responsibility or establishment of the responsibility. For example, you can say that, oh, I did my job of vacuuming. But carry up the vacuuming and doing our actual vacuuming is two different things. The one who creates the environment of the cleanliness, the one who cares about others as well as himself in order to understand this concept of cleanliness, and promote the cleanliness. And the one who just clean up things, just vacuum things, it's like different. What Holy Prophet emphasizes here is, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me stronger to carry up, to establish your commands in general, not only fasting, not only prayer, not only, no, none of these things. In general, what are the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maybe command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this time to me is to speak. To you guys to listen. Maybe 1 or 2 hours later on, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to sleep. Why? Because we have to have energy. If we don't sleep, just we want to wake up and wake up and wake up, it's going to be harmful for our body and it will be haram. So maybe every often or the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bathroom and taking care of ourselves. And so on and so forth. Every and each or what Allama Tabatabai he conclude is here in Amat Amrit, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning whatever is necessary or necessary for me to do at this time as a logic command which is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the aql to carry on, or whatever is written in a hadith book or the risala, whatever is wajib upon us to do or mustahab upon us to do so. So once we fulfill our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's called amrullah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iqamat amrullah, meaning to have this concept of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and carry on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. As Allah subhanahu mentioned, as a kind of, you know, you have a table of puzzles and you want to make a beautiful picture. Okay? So, beautiful picture, if you spend 1 trillion years and you mess up, you don't put the puzzle which is the right place and just keep doing and in the end there is no result, people they would laugh at you and say, okay, you did not done your responsibility. The only the time people they can give you the credit that you finished the job by doing properly, by maintaining the things. So that's the point. That's why every often Ahadith and Rivaah says that Fikru Sa'atin, ponder and have a think and have a refreshment about yourself and think and ponder a little bit. And just don't act and act and act. Do a lot of things. Oh, I want to pray, I want to do this, I want to go. Sometimes relax and be between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a time and time us in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to spend that what's my responsibility, what's my duty, what I should do and what I shouldn't do, and so on and so forth. So in general, the point is, Amrullah is the thing which we have to go towards making our life the way it should be. So we have to have a complete job of putting the puzzles of our life on proper way. That's why, if you look at the life of Imam Ali al-Islam, sometimes Imam Ali al-Islam, every often 1 month, he recites 1,000 rakat of the prayer. One time, he's not able to recite even Salatul Subh till last moment, that is al-Madis. Or Imam al-Hussain, all night of Ashura, he was doing zikr and adada and ruku and sujood. But on the day of Ashura, Friday prayer is ahead, and he did not offer Friday prayer, neither Dhuhr prayer. It's 2 rakat of Salatul Khawf or 2 sajda. That's depend upon the different narrators, the historian people say. I don't want to go in deep. But the point is, the responsibility of Imam al-Hussain or Imam al-Islam is at that time to take care of some other things. That's why Imam al-Islam some nights used to carry the bread and the food on his neck, and he used to carry around the nostrils of the people, and he used to distribute the bread and the food to the people. And sometimes he used to offer the prayers, sometimes he used to preach, sometimes he used to deliver the speeches. What were the responsibility he had? That's what Allah Ta'ala, he says beautifully that iqamat amrik, the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means we should not have a habitual of any type of ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not have a habitual of fasting, we should not have a habitual of prayers, we should not have a habitual of, for example, any other things. Sometimes we think that, having a adat or habitual of some ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good, but this habitual can prevent us from reaching the highest rank. Why? For example, sometimes if I have a habitual of all the time reciting 1,000 times salawat before I go to bed. Actually, I also had that experience. And sometimes because of some other reason or some other things, I have to take care of that, or I have to go to journey or something like that, I was just kind of missing something. I cannot have a satisfaction because I missed that 1,000 times salawat, or I missed that, for example, that prayers. These are the things that will bring us to reaching the highest end. So the point is, Amrullah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not just prayers, or fasting, or what? No. Whatever the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, we should do. That's one. Second thing, iqama, meaning we have to have this mentality. We have to promote this. I remember, I don't know some of you, when you were in Brother Wahid Hussain's peace with rally, or there was a peace walk, a few months ago, one of the police officers, he was saying very beautiful in a point. He said that there is a city in Europe, and in the whole city, there is no policeman. There's no policeman. In Europe, a city, there's no policeman. Why? Because people, they have this, beautiful courage and the concept of carrying out the responsibility of one another. Okay. If someone is going fast, driving fast, sometimes I do, unfortunately, what people, they remind you. Why? Because it affects all other people. If you're violating some rules, people, they stand. You're going to be shameful yourself among the people. People, they don't let you do. So there's no, presence of police in that. Why? Because people, they have this encouragement of participation in order to carry on whatever they think is a good. So once they can have a city, and nowadays, without any police, why we should not have a community center on which every and each of us, we have this concept of carry on the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say, for example, we have a garden, and five people are sitting, one person starting to leave us, and instead of in timing, enjoyment of the ghibah, if someone stood up and said, please stop, brother, sister, we don't want, or people, they leave that place, automatically that person is going to be shameful of himself, going to embarrassment of what he's doing. So this called iqamatu amri. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and give us strength to carry on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. So once we have that ability, we can carry on the rest of our lives. It's going to affect our lives, our families, our brotherhood, our neighbors, our centers, our masjid, all over, every and each place. So for example, if we have this concept of cleanliness, or ask for yourself, take care of yourself, clean, everyone takes. And we have a sense of someone's washing in the dishes in the dining or in the kitchen or no, let's go and help. Vacuum. Away from the heebas, tohmat, slander, pulling down the people, teasing, this, that, all the time, and taking care of the children, and being kind and mercy towards the children, and so on. If we practice in the month of Ramadan among ourselves, can you imagine what will happen? Let's start from our family. If we can establish a beautiful concept of Iqama to Amrik, meaning we want to keep up the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our homes, is going to be a good practice for others, inshaAllah. That's first thing. وَأَدَدْنِي فِيهَ حَلَاوَةَ ذِكْرِكَ. The second thing, or Holy Prophet is asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me the real, وَعَدَدْنِي فِيهَ حَلَاوَةَ ذِكْرِكَ, the real taste of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have a taste. So if we taste that taste, and we have a feeling of the taste of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallah, we are not going to be away from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. As Shaykh Salih Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in his book, Ihtaq al-Haq, if we know the taste of breathing, we breathe all the time, automatically. If we have a taste of breathing, how we can reach that? We stop breathing for 1 second, what will happen? Maybe you're going to say, oh, I'm very strong, I can keep it for 2 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, I don't know after that. So the more you keep yourself from breathing, you will have a feeling of taste of breathing. And all the time you are drinking water, you don't know. But sometimes really, for example, in the sunny day, you are working a lot, and then just you are thirsty, and once you grab a cup of water, you feel the taste of that water. Why? Because at this time, your whole body, only just not your feeling by your mouth or your tongue, you feel with all your body, sometimes all part of your body, you'll see the eyes, stomach, every part of your body. Why? Because you need at that time. So Allama Tabataba says that the dhikr, which the taste of dhikr is very, very important to understand what is the taste. In order to understand, Allama Tabataba, he said that we have four types of dhikr. One is a dhikr bil lisan. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our tongue, what we said, Quran, Ramadan, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal-Asr inna al-insan al-Fi khusr, illa al-Ladina amanu wa amanu al-Salihat, wa tawasu bil-Haq wa tawasu bil-Sabr. We say, Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa Allahumma sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do we say? While you're driving, you repeat, you say. That's called the first step of the dhikr. With your tongue, you're saying. The second one is a dhikr bi'af'adil af'al. All your part of the body is with you when you say the dhikr. As I mentioned, the taste of the water. A cup of water, when you need it, really, after longing, you got a glass of water and you want to drink, that taste is not going to be only taste of your tongue. You feel the taste for your body. Same thing, a dhikr, a fa'al. While you're walking, This is about Imam Ali Jamal. So we have Subbuq and Qaddus and Rabbana wa Rabbul Malaikat wa Ruh. Subbuq and Qaddus and Aziz and Mu'min. You know, as Imam Ali is walking on the street, going, not he himself, hold his body. How is it going to be? You know, sometimes you see it in a result. When you ask Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you are just doing zikr with the lisan. If some children is passing, if someone take the sajdah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you're saying by your tongue, nothing else. Because if you say by whole your body, you're not going to react like that. Sometimes you grab the hand, Rahman Rahim. You know, these type of things is say that just restrict in first level of the zikr, which is a zikr bil-lisan, not a zikr bil-afal. A zikr bil-afal runs to achieve all your body as the zikr with your tongue, your mind, your thinking. Once you say, Subhanallah, glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your mind is not here in this world to see here and there, to judge the action of people. You know, sometimes people, they had a discussion and they're doing, for example, pros and cons of something. A person was praying, Allah and Allah said, no, you're wrong, he's right. I don't know how he got all those information and calculation and equation and making a judgment during the prayer. It shows that it was a lip service, just a zikr bil lisan. No, we have reached the second stage, which is a zikr bil afal. A zikr bil afal, you're not here anymore. Once you see your mind out saying Subhanallah, your mind is praying, your mind, once you go to sajda, your mind is in sajda, your whole body is in sajda, every each part of your body is in sajda. That's why Imam Ali said, once in sajda, people, you know, there was an arrow in the leg of Imam Ali al-Islam, and no one was able to take up that. And Holy Prophet said, once in sajda, go and take up. And once in sajda, people, they went and they take up, and Imam Ali said, never said that. This is, you know, something called a zikr bil-af'al. And that's only, no, the third one is a zikr bil-a'mal. Not only your body, your action after and before zikr should, you know, represent you on zikr. You say, Ya Sattar al-Uyub, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are the one who covers the mistake of the people. MashaAllah. So, do I cover the mistake of the people? Same thing. So, the third stage is this zikr, not only by tongue, not only the body, after and before the zikr, it should be a result of that zikr. This is called the third. And the fourth zikr is zikru huzuri, meaning being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something which is just we can imagine, just we can talk. Why? Because it's not easy though to reach that zikr hudur. Why? Holy Prophet, he said, those who have a zikr hudur, true zikr, the khalis zikr, those are the ones, they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the time, they are going to be a subject of the acceptance of the dua of the people. You know, sometimes say, Allahu bihaqq Muhammad, wa Ali, wa Fatima, wa al-Hasan, wa al-Husayn, ishfirana wa kadakala, wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the intercession of Imam, for the Prophet, Imam Ali, Imam Hussain, Imam Hassan. He said, why? Because they are the zikr khalis, zikr huduri, they reached that point. That's the meaning when you say in dua tawassul, what you say? Repeat. In the end, what you say all the time? Ya wajihan indallah. Isfi'lana indallah. Ya wajihan. The one who has a wajih, meaning a high dignity. Meaning khudur, the one who is in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussain, the Prophet, They are all with them in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a high dignity. They are going to be a subject of acceptance of law for the people. So we should try to reach that point that I want to reach to maqam of zikr-e huduri. I should not limit myself to this first or second or even third stage. Well, it's difficult to be even in second, third stage. But in the month of Ramadan, we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reach that point. That's why for Imam Ali, there is no one can affect the life, the dignity, the future, the goal of Imam Ali. All the people from Arab, Ajam, came and they wanted to do allegiance, and all seven after, Muslim Ummah, quote unquote, I can say, are particularly those who were longing for, to see Imam Ali as a ruler, as a Khalifa, as an Imam, which can establish an Islamic government concept. They longing for a long time. It was not a joke. And also when Imam Ali, once he became a Khalifa, he wrote a letter to Muawiyah, no longer as a governor. And Imam Ali nominates those people who have no dignity whatsoever in the society. Sahal, the Uday and these five people. Kumail, you go for example, be a governor of Yemen. Kumail, who's Kumail? No one knows Kumail. Nowadays because the disciple of Kumail, maybe you will relate, but at the time, Kumail is not famous as like Talha, Zubair, Abdullah, even Abbas, Uncle of the Prophet. No. Imam Ali al-Islam, he nominated. People came to Ali, oh Ali, we were longing to see you in this position, and if you do like that, we're going to have we don't have any future Islamic government concept. Imam Ali said, أَلَا أُرِيدَكُمْ بِكُمْ لِلَّهُ وَأَنْتُمْ مُطُرِيدٌ لِلَّهِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ. I want to lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to fulfill your own desire. So if you want to obey and follow me, a lot of times the problem with us is we want to mix our own wisdom, our own desire, and the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to come up with silly or very bad excuses. For example, this and that, based on my calculation, this should be that should be this. If we say, قَالُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهِ رَبُّنَا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, those people say, Allah is our Lord. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't care about anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And dedicate in that path, no matter what this people said, that people said, in the job, you follow the hijab or not, you do this. All those things is because we are afraid that I'm going to lose my dignity. What is the dignity? Dignity is being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's very important. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us sin and tawfiq. And then the last sentence of the Holy Prophet is, وَوَزِعَنِي فِيهِ لِأَدَاءِ شُكْرِكَ بِكَرَمِكَ وَحْفَظْنِي فِيهِ بِحَفْزِكَ وَصَطْرِكَ يَا أَبْصَرُ النَّاظِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me very strong in order to have a gratitude ability of thanking to other people and as well as to you. So this kind of attribute of gratitude or thankfulness towards other people is very important. So without thankful or being gratefulness or thankful for the people and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot achieve any rank. Because about the thankfulness or this shukr, inshallah, the 25th and 26th of this month also, our Holy Prophet is specifically going to, inshallah, to set, that's why we want to go in deep about this shukr, inshallah, later on. Akbar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any question? Inshallah. MashaAllah. So the question is, if you want to reach the Zikr Amali, and the Zikr Af'al, the second state of Zikr, which is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole body. Once you're in sajda, if the snake is going, and you know that the snake is going, then how you should feel him? I'm not saying that if you feel the snake, or if you feel some, you know, very danger thing, obviously if you feel that, then you are not in the state of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that, you know, moment. So the point is, this question also in Wasail al-Shia, you can see in the value number 3, Abu Basir asked him on 6th Imam, said, "Oh Imam, if I'm in the desert or in jungle, Shalom was in the jungle, how many of you visited Amazon? You know, I had a vision and dream that it's beautiful, I don't know." Okay. Say, so, I'm in Amazon jungle or in the desert and I'm praying and all of a sudden there's Asad, yeah, what can be the lion, okay? Lion comes and he wants to attack me. What I should do? Imam said, the moment you say there's a lion coming, you're not in that level. So, our Imam says that if you reach that level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Because it's a duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from that moment. First. Second thing is for us, which want to practice, which want to reach that point, or 6 Imam says that, if you feel there's a dangerness, you should run away from that point. Why? Because that's your duty at that time. What's your duty at that time? If you see that there's a cobra coming and getting closer to you, you should run away from that situation. You cannot say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, go. No, because if you say that, you're not either, you're doing zikr, nor you're taking your responsibility. Any other question? Alhamdulillah. So our sister today, yesterday, they had a lot of questions, and today they said, no, Alhamdulillah. So that's, thank you, sister. Jazakillah, taqabbalallah, inshallah, Alhamdulillah. اللهم إنا نسألك العظيم اسمك العظيم الأعظم العزيز الأجل كم يا الله يا الله يا الله اللهم انزل علينا بركاتك الرحمن والصالح رضوان اللهم تقبل منا نفسنا لنا اللهم عزل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان وجعلنا من أعظامه وانصاره إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات بالأخص مرحوم شبر لي خان عاشوا دي أدى مرحوم I mentioned you know the thing after the dua فذكرهم أرسل على صالد المحومين الفاتحة مع الصلوات السلام عليك يا رب الله السلام عليك ابن رسول الله السلام عليك وعلى جدك وابيك وعلى امك واخيك رحمة الله
يا رب يا كريم يا رب وانت سلام وزاسين الغليل من بلاء الدنيا وغباسا وما يجري فيها من المكاره على الغاب على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه قليل
بفادر إن شاء الله And for the Shuhada of Islam, Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, ar-Rahim al-Liki al-Madini al-Qur'an. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين مبير الظالمين رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد. Our discussion, alhamdulillah, has reached its 13th night. And for almost 2 weeks, we've been attempting to discuss the tools, the resources, the dynamics behind living an Islamic life in the West, and not just being Muslims. And I urge you at this moment, please, if you brought children with you, they should either be beside you or in the puppet show. This one or the one at the hall, doesn't matter which puppet show you want. So please, I can hear children in the lobby and in the background. I ask you, I urge you, please, it's not a matter of language anymore, it's not a matter of entertainment anymore. You brought them here, mashallah, allow them the opportunity to learn something, inshallah. Salam alayhi wa Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. As we were saying, we've discussed several aspects of this topic over the past 2 weeks, and tomorrow being the last speech of this series, today I want to present to you a final aspect, and then tomorrow, inshallah, a conclusion or a summary, when we have 4 parallel programs tomorrow, inshallah. A quick recap: 2 days ago we talked a little bit about the definition of success in Islam, what Islam sees as prosperity, as success, and what the West sees as success, and the difference between the two. Yesterday we talked a little bit about this 3-step plan, about setting a condition for yourself, accountability, fighting shaitan, the philosophy behind good deeds in Ramadan, and we talked a little bit about Mawla Ali's words from Nahjul Balagha about Islam. Today I want to talk about a topic that's extremely important, and one that will help us in our goal of this Islamic lifestyle. We have, besides the usul of our deen, we have a furu of our deen as well. We have the roots and then we have the branches. The roots are 5 and the branches are 10, mashallah, we all know that. Of those 10, 2 of them is what I will talk about today. The Quran says in Surah Ali Imran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kuntum khayrun ummatin. You are the best nation. وَأُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. And you guide people, or you help individuals. تَأْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفَ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Through the forbidding of evil, and through the enjoining of good. وَتَأْمَنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And you believe and you have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is this concept that you and I must understand. It is an obligation upon every single individual to do this. Now, a few issues, a few questions. First question that we have is why? Why should I worry about the guy beside me? Why should I care if he's off the path? We know that what will go with us in our grave are our deeds and our a'mal and what we did in this world. I have a tough enough time trying to stay on the path for me to worry about the guy beside me and make sure he's on the path as well. So who cares? If he's off the path, if he's getting drunk on Friday nights, if he's getting high on Saturday nights, who cares? Let him be. I'm not doing that, and that's all that matters. This philosophy and this thinking, unfortunately, exists in our communities. We see something bad happening, we ignore it, and we move on. And we think, alhamdulillah, I'm not one of those people. That thought pattern is extremely dangerous. And that's the philosophy of those who are selfish. I mentioned several times in these 13 days, Islam is not about the individual. Islam is about the ummah. Islam is not about I, it's about we. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We're sitting there in a room all by ourselves, the door is closed, nobody's around, and you're saying that you alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. Who's we? I don't understand. I'm by myself. It's not إِيَّاكَ أَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ أَسْتَعِينَ. I alone you worship, I alone we ask, I ask for help. No. That's not the situation. The philosophy is that it is an ummah, number one. So understand that if a person beside you is off the path, it is our obligation to fix that person. Now, providing a couple of conditions I have to discuss, and also the method to do this. Because one thing that we don't understand sometimes is how to help our fellow brother, or what conditions we should look for. Before saying that, let me go through a hadith by our Holy Prophet, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He has a beautiful analogy where he talks about Islam being a ship. He says the people on that ship are Muslims, you and I, and it is an obligation on the people of the ship to make sure that the ship itself is in the utmost best condition. That if you see somebody grab an axe and begin to break a hole in the bottom of the boat or the ship, you know that every single person has an obligation to stop him, number one, and fix that hole. Why? If enough water gets into the boat will sink, and ideally, because you're on that ship, you'll sink as well. Islam is the exact same way. You and I are part of Islam. We are representatives of Islam. We are ambassadors of Islam. If there is a hole in the religion, if somebody is doing something to create a negative image of the religion, it's our job to patch that up and stop this brother or stop this sister. Otherwise, you and I will suffer and Islam will suffer. So the philosophy is very simple. We have an obligation towards Islam for its own well-being. Let's understand that, number one. Number two, Islam promotes this concept of helping each other out. Surah Tawbah, ayat number 71, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'ad, the Quran says. That a believing man, a man and a believing woman, are helpers for each other. Are supporters for each other, look out for each other. It's only human nature that if you see somebody drowning, whether you know them or not, if you know how to swim, you'll jump in and save them. That human nature comes from Allah, this concept of believing in humanity and nothing else. Now, conditions. We understand this concept, we know it's an obligation. However, there are certain conditions. When you attempt to bring somebody onto the path of Islam or correct the path that they're treading, the first obligation or first condition, sorry, has to be that you have to know what you're talking about. You have to get your facts straight. If you're telling somebody, look brother, what you're doing is wrong, and actually it's not wrong, it's mustahab and recommended, then you look foolish. Or if, God forbid, you make something haram that isn't haram, which, I'm sorry, but it's very popular in our communities, mashallah, this is haram. Oh, wait a second. It's not haram. It might be makruh in Islam, but it's not haram by any means. So we have to have a level of awareness where we understand Islam to the point where we can fix others. That's why Mawla Ali says that knowledge has no value until it's spread. If you know something, it's your obligation to spread it. Provided you know it well enough to spread it, number one. That's why they say in Qom when you enter the Hauza, they say, look, don't come here to try to conquer the world. I'll save mankind. I'm going to take humanity on my back and save. No. Save yourself first. Guide yourself first. Educate yourself first. And then think about maybe trying to help one person if you can. If Allah blesses you that way. That's not the intention of niyat. Same concept. If you're trying to save somebody, make sure that you know what you're talking about. Because we have a lot of individuals. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We have individuals, like I said, who maybe they misread something, misunderstood something, didn't clearly understand something, and they want to make sure. And the niyat is, mashallah, clean, soft. They want to help the brother. They just don't understand the issue at hand. Number two, the second condition. There has to be a level of influence here. You have to understand that, look, if I say something, this brother or sister will change. There are individuals who are very hard-headed in our communities. You know, a sister who doesn't wear hijab, for example, you can give her ayats upon ayats, hadith upon hadith, dalil upon dalil, proof upon proof, logic, Quran, the prophets, the imams, and she still won't wear hijab. At that moment then, the imams say, you've done your part, salamu alaykum, salatus, and you take off. That's it. Trying to call her every day, saying, look, wear hijab, wear it, you know, forcing it down, doesn't work that way. You presented your dalil, you've done your job, you've done what you could. At that moment, there is zero chance of any change. That's fine. The obligation is off your shoulders. Provided that you've done your part to understand that this person is not changing. They're very stubborn. And they're somebody who's stuck in their ways, unfortunately. And no matter what I say, they're not going to listen to me. Okay? Now, number three, and very importantly, Ikhsallah bihi bihi Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. It comes back to your niyat. We have individuals in our communities, and I say communities, I don't mean here. I mean outside in other communities. Mawla Ali has a very beautiful hadith. He says, people ask questions for two reasons. They ask questions for two reasons. One is because they don't know something and they actually want to know it. MashaAllah. One is to show what they know. They'll go home, they'll read a book, maybe a chapter of a book. They'll learn it very well. They close the book. They come to the center. And the moment that the alim is done speaking, they'll rush him and say, Mawla, I have one question for you. And they'll ask them the same question that they read upon that same night. They know it, they memorize it. And just to test if this guy even knows what he's talking about up there, we ask them questions. And a place like this where, mashallah, you have a rotation of a lot of speakers all year round, or at least in the month of Ramadan when at least three or four come in through the door, there's always one or two in each community, mashallah, who approach every alim looking, you know, asking the exact same question. You got your answer already. What do you want from us? But it's not the idea of him trying to learn, unfortunately. He's trying to expose what you don't know. It's not that he's trying to help you, brother, your sajda is wrong. I know. I've read the books. I know what sajda is. This is how you do sajda. No, but brother, what is your niyat at that moment? Is your intention to show the world, look, I know what I'm talking about. I'm learning. I've read a couple of books. Or is it really to help the guy beside you? We're trying to establish a system here just so we understand here halfway through. Is that we are on this path of an Islamic life. It's very hard individually. We're trying to help each other out. We're trying to be those supporters and helpers, the Quran said, for each other. Look out for each other. If someone's falling, say, look, I got your back, don't worry. If someone's doing something wrong, look, don't do this. It's not cool, it's not good. All these things. This is wajib on us, an obligation as a community on us. So let's try to understand for a moment that a brother's niyat and a sister's niyat is also very important. Now there are individuals who, mashallah, their niyat is very clean and very pure. And they're out to really help individuals. The problem is that sometimes we're not ready to hear our own deficiencies. That's another issue altogether. Where if after namaz, someone whispers in our ear and says, brother, I was noticing that your palms aren't down during sajda. You know, in sajda, seven parts of the body have to be on the ground. If we do this, let's say in sajda, the palm is not on the ground. The Ahlul Bayt teaches the palm has to be on the ground. If someone whispers in your ear, say, brother, just next time be careful to make sure the palm is on the ground, we become so offended. We become so insulted. We say, who are you to tell me how to do sajda? I've seen you do this, I've seen your mom do this, I've seen your sister do this. Go and teach them, don't teach me. So we have to be willing and able to understand and to take it when someone's coming to us with a sincere intention trying to help us, instead of saying, you know what, really, Mr. Islam over here. No. You say, you know what, thank you, brother, I appreciate it, next time I'll work on that. But our own capacity to listen to our own deficiencies is zero sometimes. And that's why we don't see reform in our communities. That's why we see the same people year in and year out. When I attend communities every single year, again, not here. Not here. When I attend the same communities every single year, I see the same individuals who had the same problem last year, and the same, again, problem this year. I'm thinking, what did you do for the past year? We discussed what the solution was. Did you implement those steps that we talked about? No, we didn't. So this idea of reforming ourselves, changing ourselves, is zero in our communities, unfortunately, because we're not willing to accept that I have a problem. If there was a seminar here on how to raise your children in the West, and you invite, you know, a psychologist and an alim who is a master in the field, it takes you to recognize that I need someone's help in raising my own kids in the West for you to attend. And that's why some won't attend. Some will think, oh, every other person needs help except for me. My kids are perfect. My son is this. My daughter is that. It's your son that needs help. It's your daughter who I saw without a hijab at school. It's your son who I saw doing this and doing that. My son, mashallah, for this stuff. He's perfect. And that's the problem. We're not willing to admit our own deficiencies in our family and in ourselves. And we have to understand this concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, which is wajib on us, is that philosophy where you have to be able to accept when someone beside you says, look brother, this is not right what you're doing. Believe me, it's not right. InshaAllah bi hijri Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now the question is, how do we approach somebody? Let's say we see somebody who's obviously doing something wrong. How do we approach them? It depends on your level of intimacy with them. If it's a good friend of yours, the diploma said, look, dude, it's California, right? Dude. This is not the way. If I was in New Jersey, I'd be like, look, son. Or in Toronto, look, guy. It's like that. It depends on where you're from. You have to kind of mix and match. But here, it's like, look, dude, this is not the way you do things. This is the way you do things. Now, if somebody is new to the community and you don't know them, look at the approach of the Ahlul Bayt and see how they did it. The famous story is of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, alayhi wa salatu wa salam. It's Allah bihajjah Muhammad wa al-Muhammad. These two sons of Mawla Ali were doing wudu one day and an old man came and did wudu with them. Famous story. We're trying to establish how to do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar according to the Ahlul Bayt. There's one way that's indirect, as they say. This is the indirect method. They're doing wudu and they're noticing the man, the old man here beside them, is doing wudu completely wrong. Now again, they have several approaches. They can get upset and say, look, old man, you're doing the wudu wrong. You're 85 years old, your whole life you haven't done wudu properly. Suddenly, aren't you all these things? Right? All these things. But that's not the approach of the Ahlul Bayt. It never was. Look at the beautiful approach of these two individuals. They approach the old man after the wudu and say, my brother and I were having a little bit of a debate on how to do wudu properly. Would you mind watching us and seeing which one of us does it properly? Allahu Akbar. Look at the approach of the Ahlul Bayt. Look at the approach of the Ahlul Bayt. And the old man in his wisdom understood that it's not those two that had the problem, it was me who had the problem. Indirectly fixing the method. So these methods are gold for us. Again, the other two methods are verbally, you come out and say, and you tell the person. Right? So there's one method that's indirect. You get the message across somehow to them. Maybe, you know, you have a person who does something, you know, continuously wrong. Like I said, a part of namaz that they don't read properly. So you make it a point that there's a gathering where you are there and the person is there also. There's a Q&A with a Mawlana, for example. You make it a point to ask a question about that part of the namaz to make sure he's there in front of the Mawlana. Again, indirectly, you're guiding him through Mawlana. So you ask Mawlana, this part of the namaz, can you teach us how to pray the salat this way? And you know he's listening. And that's your way of teaching him how to fix his salat. As opposed to you maybe embarrassing him, insulting him, because, you know, we're very sensitive when it comes to our deen and our madhab and our religion. Very sensitive. If someone corrects, like I said, we're not willing to hear it. So there has to be an indirect method to fix our brothers and our sisters. It's a lot of hijri Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. But So this obligation on us is an obligation every single one of us has this on our shoulders. It is a furu of our deen. It is a branch of Islam. When we see anywhere where someone is doing anything wrong, or when someone's doing something good, we enjoin them or we forbid them accordingly. There are conditions, like I mentioned, and there are methods to use accordingly. It's very difficult. It's not easy. Now, I've been talking for 13 days about struggle, struggle, struggle. Let me relate to you one story about the beauty of struggle in Islam, so we can get this point across. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The story is of a man and a butterfly. We studied in Surah, at least I did way, way back when, how a butterfly comes about. And you know that, you know, the caterpillar becomes into a cocoon, then it breaks out from the cocoon, all these kind of things. So a man was watching this butterfly come to life in a jar. I want you to picture this for me. And you know that a butterfly breaks free of its cocoon, and that's how it becomes a butterfly, essentially. So in the jar, he sees the cocoon, and he sees the butterfly begins to move from the cocoon. And it begins to slowly rip open the cocoon, and he sees the head come out of the cocoon. He's watching this happen in front of him. And the butterfly is struggling to get out. He's trying as hard as he can see. He's shaking. Every ounce of his body is being put into breaking free of this cocoon. And then he stops for a moment, the butterfly, to either rest or whatever the case may be. The man's watching this. And he thinks to himself, I feel really bad for this butterfly. Let me help him out here. Opens the jar, takes the cocoon out, takes some scissors, and begins snipping the cocoon out. Thinking for a moment that, you know what, I'm going to help this butterfly, feeling really good about himself. The butterfly came out easily, obviously. His head was this big, his body was shriveled completely, and his wings were not developed at all. And his lower body was swollen. And so the man thought, okay, give it about 2 minutes, it'll begin to adjust, open its wing and fly off. 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed, 16 minutes passed, and this butterfly was stuck in this state. What this man didn't realize in his haste and kindness was that struggle that the cocoon, that the butterfly goes through in that little cocoon, and the pushing out, what that does is takes the fluid of the bottom and it spreads it out to the body and to the wings. And that's what gives this butterfly life. And that's what gives this butterfly the wings to fly. So he has to go through those struggles in the cocoon to be able to be formed as a butterfly. Similarly, we as humans need to go through struggles and hardships to understand who we are and to make who we are. That's why I always tell my youth wherever I go, don't hide from hardships. Don't run from hardships. Don't complain about struggles in life. Take them as a blessing from God. Nabi Ayyub is a perfect example for us. Nabi Ayyub, if you haven't read his story, read it online tonight. It's a story of a man who's known that if you want to learn patience, you learn sabr from Nabi Ayyub. He was a man that was tested time and time again. The very quick version of the story is very simple. He was a man who was blessed with crops and fields, a very healthy family, mashallah. He was a man who was successful in this world. But he was a man who was always thanking Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, would never leave his lips. Shaitan doesn't like these kind of people. He approached Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day and says, you know, the only reason why this prophet of yours, Ayyub, is thankful to you is because he has this massive land and these crops and these young sons and this health. If I take one thing away from him, you watch how he changes on you. Allah says, you know what, he's one of my khas bandis, he's one of my special creations. He won't change on me, no matter what you do to him. Just give me permission to test him. Allah granted Shaitan that permission. The first thing Shaitan did was burn his crops. Clear. That every source of income that he had was burned down to the ground. Nabi Ayyub fell down to sajda, says, Alhamdulillah. Shaitan went back to Allah. Allah says, see, I told you, he's not going to change the way he thanks me. Shaitan, in his cleverness, says the only reason why he hasn't broke down from you is because he has young sons, and he knows that the young sons will help him rebuild his crops. Let me continue to test him. Allah says, sure. Shaitan takes him, and his sons were killed one by one by one by one. Now his crops are gone, and his sons are gone. Again, Nabi Ayyub goes down and says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shaitan again goes back to Allah, and says, the only reason why he's not come off the path yet, is because he has his health still. He's still a young man. Allah says, fine, keep testing him, no problem. So now Shaitan inflicts sickness on Nabi Ayyub to the point where for 7 to 10 years he was completely immobile. He couldn't move, he couldn't do anything. To the point where his wife left him, people started doubting his prophethood. What kind of prophet has these balas and calamities on him? All these things. But again, Alhamdulillah, Nabi Ayyub again was in sajda, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last test of Shaitan, after he took the crops, the children, and the health of Nabi Ayyub, was to take his respect. And he caused individuals who lived with Nabi Ayyub to doubt that he was a man of God. He says, they would say, I thought people of God would be of those who were successful in this world. Every time I look at you, it's one calamity after another. How can you be a man of God? And they left his side. And again, Nabi Ayyub fell down and said, Alhamdulillah, I have you and that's all I need. Shaitan at that moment gave up and says, he is the mukhlisin, he is the sincere one that I can never misguide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment re-gifted Nabi Ayyub his respect, his health, his children, and his crops. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. In this path of Islam where we are attempting to create an Islamic life, it's very difficult here in the West. It's very hard. But like I've always mentioned since day one, do not run from hardships. Hardships and struggles make you who you are. They make us who we are. And time again, our imams were tested. Imam Hussein's struggle in Karbala is well known. Imam Qasim's imprisonment, all these things that we have in our history teaches us the Ahlul Bayt took these hardships on and took them as avenues towards Allah. And we need to do the exact same thing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this qaleel ibadat inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ma'rifat of who He is inshaAllah. Tonight is Shabbat Jumaah, it's the night of dua. Ya Allah, we ask you to please forgive the sins of our marhumeen. We ask you to guide us on the path of the Ahlul Bayt. We ask us to prepare ourselves for the coming of our 12th Imam. And we ask us finally to keep us under the umbrella of the Imams, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu alayka ya Abba Abdullah, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salamu alaykum ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. As-salamu alaykum ya Fatima al-Zahra.